Okay, today is Wednesday, March 7th. This is the Women's Chumashir. We're up to the end of Perek Tes Vav of Sefer Bereishis. Small crowd because of the snow. Okay, Rabotai. We are at the end of Perek Tes Vav. End of Perek Tes Vav, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu enumerates the nations that we will conquer or inherit as a result of this Brit Bein HaBitarim. So if you look at the end of Perek Tet Vav, it is Psukim, starting with Yud Chet, Perek Tet Vav Pasuk Yud Chet. It says, "Bayom Ahu, Karat Hashem et Avram Brit Lemor." Hakadosh Baruch Hu established a covenant with Avram, saying, "Lizaracha Natati et Haaretz Hazot." I have given you this land, Minahar Mitzrayim, from some the river of Mitzrayim, Ad Hanahar Hagadol Nahar Prat, until the great Euphrates River, that is in the north. And here are the nations: Etakeni, Etaknizi, Etakadmoni, Etachiti, Etaprizi, Etarifaim, Etaemori, Etaknani, Etagirgashi, Etayivusi. So these are the nations that we are going to inherit, eventually. So Rashi initially is concerned in Pasuk Yudchet as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the expression Lizaracha Natati in the past tense. After all, he has not yet given it even to Avraham. He's just establishing the covenant now. Why is it that Rashi uses, that the Torah uses the past tense? In the previous psukim, it always says, "Lizaracha etein et haaretz hazot." I will give you this land. That's what it says all the time. So why does it say, "Lizaracha natati et haaretz hazot"? Why does it? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi establishes a principle, "Lizaracha natati amirato shel hakadosh baruch hu." Ki'ilu hi asuya. That when God says something, it's as good as done. So when man makes a promise, there is never a guarantee that that individual will fulfill that promise. So he can't say, before he's given that promise, he can't say, "I have given you already." Because you haven't given a thing. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a statement, that is considered as if it would be a ma'aseh. Ke'ilu hi asuya. And this is Rashi citing the Midrash. This particular phrase, that amirato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has a corollary for us as well. Anything that I want to transfer to you, in order for you to legally acquire it, you have to make a kinyan. You have to engage in a formal act of acquisition. And if you don't make a kinyan, either of us can withdraw our offer to give or to sell this to you. So if I plan on selling this to you and say we're negotiating the price, I say it's worth $20 and we agree on $20, and it's still sitting here, and we agree that we're going to sell it. You can say, "Sorry, I don't want to pay 20. I only want to pay 15. I can say, "I don't want to sell it unless you give me 25. Even though we seem to have had an agreement. Because we didn't make a kinyan. The only kinyan that legally recognizes that something has transferred hands by something that can be moved is to pick it up. So if I give it to you and you pick it up, then you legally own it, even though you haven't given me a penny. the acquisition has nothing to do with the purchase price. And money doesn't acquire, can't acquire things that move in halacha. In halacha, you cannot purchase something that can move, legally own it simply by the transfer of money. You can do that for land. So if I want to buy your house and we negotiate the $800,000 as the selling price, I can give you a dollar, and with that $1, I legally own the house. Of course, I still have to give you the $799,000 more. But the exchange value price has nothing to do with the legal acquisition in halacha. So every time that I want something to be in reality, I have to go ahead and make a kinyan. I have to make a kinyan. The only exception to the rule is when you donate something to the mikdash. The mikdash, if I say I'm going to donate this tape recorder to the mikdash, so the rule is amirato legavoa kimisirato lehedyot. That saying something on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the equivalent of transferring it to an ordinary citizen. So here, this halacha of Amira Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much akin to our halacha of saying something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So just as when I donate something to God, it is accomplished by Amira, once I say I'm giving this tape recorder to God, I cannot withdraw my offer any longer. Even though I didn't give it to the person who is in the Beit HaMikdash, and he will pick it up for the Beit, he doesn't have to. Once I say so. The corollary is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says something, it is legally binding, despite the fact that he has not yet given it to Avram, or anything like that. That's the principle that Rashi is citing here. So for this reason, it can say, in the past tense, Lizaracha natati et haaretz hazot. Why can it say it in the past tense? Based on the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm giving it to you, it is as good as done. As good as done. Yeah. Now, the major issue that I want to focus on tonight, and there are going to be three perspectives as to how to handle this, is the nations that are itemized in this pasuk, in these three psukim, the Keni, the Knizi, Kadmoni, Chiti, Prizi, Rifaim, Emori, Knani, Girgashi, and Yavusi. So, if you say every morning, which I'm sure you do, V'charot imo habrit, right? You remember that paragraph, V'charot imo habrit, which we recite before Az Yashir. This is the covenant that we're talking about. God established a covenant with Abraham. That's what we say, v'charoti mohabrit. So under those circumstances, think about the names that are recited in that particular unit. V'charoti mohabrit, l'aseis l'cha et eretz, ha-kna'ani, ha-chiti, ha-amori, ha-yevusi, ha-girgashi, and the Chivi also. Now, Chivi is not mentioned here at all. Chivi is not mentioned here at all. And there is something that is mentioned here that we don't include in that pasuk. It's called the Eretz HaRifaim. Where did that come into being?
We don't mention
10. Here we don't. We only mention 7 in the Charoti Moabrit. And that's going to be the subject of, as I said, three different perspectives, the 7 versus the 10. And what are the, are these names, where did they come from? Why are these lands selected? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu decide that I'm only going to give you these 7 lands? Or 10 lands? Why? Why didn't he say I'm going to give you United States? Why didn't he say I'm going to give you Russia? Why is Am Yisrael destined to become Eretz Yisrael only on this particular land, and its generic name is what? Eretz Kena'an. That's the name that is used throughout the Chumash. Eretz Canaan. Why is it called Eretz Canaan if Canaani is just one of the ten? Why isn't it Eretz Haprizi? Why do we call it Eretz Canaan? Why is it not Eretz Canaan? So please go back in your Chumash to Perek Tet, and we will look at Pasuk Chav Dalid and Chafei. So this is after the flood episode, and Noach gets drunk. Vayiketz Noach miyeno, vayeda et asher asa lo bno hakatan. He becomes aware of that which Chum had done unto him. As to what exactly he did is a matter of debate. As to what exactly he did. Some say he castrated him. That's what some say. Others say he had a homosexual relationship with him. That's what others say. It's a debate in Masech Sanhedrin. But whatever it is, he became aware of what happened. Vayomer, and what does he say? Arur Kina'an. Let Kina'an be cursed. Eved Avodim Yihyeh Le'echav. He will now be a servant unto what? Unto his brothers. Now, who is Kina'an? He's the son of Chum. The Torah says that Kina'an gave birth to Chum. And now, if you will now go to chapter 10, it says in Pasuk Vav, Uvnei Chum, Kush u'Mitzrayim u'Fut u'Chena'an. So Kena'an is one of the children of Chum. Then, a couple of Pesukim later, go to Pasuk Tet Vav. Look at Pasuk Tet Vav in Perek Yud. U'Chena'an yolad et Sidon b'Chorro ve'et Chet. Vet Yivusi, Vet Ho'emori, Vet Hagirgashi, Vet Hachivi, Vet Ho'arki, Vet Hasini, Vet Ho'arvadi, Vet Hatzmari, Vet Hachamati, V'achar Nafotsu Mishbechot HaKna'ani. So Kna'an, Mr. Kna'an, gives birth to all of these people who later are identified as the lands which we are going to inherit. And here there will be much discussion about these. So number one, the way the Torah lists them here is not exactly the way it's listed by us. There are certain names that appear here in terms of children of Kena'an and don't appear in the Pesukim that we just read in Perek Tet Vav. And there are certain names in Perek Tet Vav that do not appear here in this particular list. So Ibn Ezra, for example, says that if you'll take page 4 for a minute of the handout. Page 4. And take a look at Radak. Who initially cites the Chizkuni. Uchena'an, it's the paragraph right above the one I bracketed. I'm going to read the bracketed one as well. Uchena'an Yolad. He had children. Ra'iti le'echad min ha'mefarshim, I've seen one of the commentaries, it happens to be the Chizkuni, shekatav ki b'nei Kna'an Achad Asar, Kenan has 11 children, Ve'imo, and with him, Heim Shneim Asar. There are 12 children. To parallel, of course, the 12 tribes of Yaakov, exactly. Vehush Amar HaKatuv, and this is what is written in Parshat Hazinu, Yatsev Givulot Amim, he will establish the boundaries of nations, Limispar B'nei Yisrael, in accordance with the numbers of B'nei Yisrael, or B'nei Yisrael at 12 Shvatim. So there is some corollary between the land of Canaan and what Am Yisrael is now going to become, Eretz Yisrael. And the question is, why is there is corresponding either number or lands? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that the children of Canaan, who are include all of the nations that we see in our Perek, happen to be these are specific lands which we're going to inherit? So some actually say, just read the pasuk, that this is the fulfillment of the pasuk that God cursed Canaan. What is included in the curse of Canaan, which I referred you to a second ago in the curse at the end of Perek Tet? It says in Pasuk 26, in 26, Vayomer, Baruch Hashem Elohei Shem, Vehi Canaan Eved Lamo. Canaan is going to be a slave unto him. Okay. Correct. It is Noah. That's correct. And Noah is here. So some Parshanim say, where do we ever see that all of these children of Canaan became slaves of Shem, who is the forefather of Am Yisrael? Where do we ever see it? It never happens. So therefore, they claim that this is the fulfillment. How did the children of Noah, of Ham, ultimately serve as slaves for B'nai Shem? That they prepared the land that the Jew was about to occupy. That the Jew was about to occupy this land, and they are going to go ahead and prepare it. Assuming that there was not much there to start off with, what now happens? They work the land for X number of generations, and then, because they are avadim, what halacha does an eved have? What halacha does an eved have about acquisition of property? So the Gemara says, kol ma shekana eved, kana rabo. Whatever a slave acquires is automatically acquired by his master. And therefore, some of the Parshanim here say that's exactly what's happening in our Pasuk in Perek Tetrav. That Noach gives these lands to his children. Canaan develops all of these lands, the Pruzi and so on. They work their land for X number of generations. And now the master, namely Shem, comes and says, this is our land. How do I know this is our land? Because that's what the Torah records. That you are my slave. If it is, you are my slave, the land of the Canaanite, the Chiti, the Amori, the Prizi, and so on and so forth, belongs to its master, who happens to be a Jew who is descendant of the children of Shem. Of Shem. And why is it called Eretz Canaan all the time? Because Canaan was the father of all of these people. That's why it's called Eretz, very simple. That's why it's called Eretz Canaan. Because all of Canaan's children happened to have occupied these lands in this particular area, and their inheritance is only a temporary one until Am Yisrael is about to take over. Yeah?
I think kind of as parallelism,
right?
It almost like tells you that Had they been good, for example?
They may have warranted their own.
God gives you this opportunity.
Correct.
Is this, in fact, this 12 and 12 makes it an interesting...
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. Now, take a look at... then he discusses how come there is no discussion of Tzidon the Bechor. We never see that we conquer Eretz Tzidon. Not interested in that right now. Look in the second bracketed Radak on page number 4. And I want you to start where it says, right after in the parentheses it says, Pasuk Yotet, for Ha'el, everybody have the place? It's in the middle of that bracketed radak, next to the parentheses, Pasuk Yotet. For Ho'el Natan Avraham Eretz Kanaan Legvulateha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avram the land of Canaan based on its borders. V'niskeru Miktzatam Kan B'Shem Echad. V'Sham, and later on, in our parak, B'Shem Acher. V'Sham Nizkar HaKna'ani Im HaPratim. There, Kanani is not listed as the master father, but he's listed what? Amongst all the others. It's Eretz HaKnani, HaChiti, HaEmori, HaPrizi. Vihine lo nizkar ela Kanaan avihem. Here, it only says Kanaan is their father. Is their father. So he goes on to say, and says, you know what? Okay. You'll find this phenomenon quite frequently, that sometimes a nation is identified by one name and sometimes it's identified by another name. Don't get hysterical. Don't get hysterical. Don't get hysterical. However, he does not address as to what the relationship between these nations of the children of Ham have to do with the land that we are going to inherit. So there are a couple of points that I want to show you. So now go back to page number 1 for a minute. And the biggest chiddush will be the Alshich, who's on page number 2, but we'll do this first, page number 1. He was a commentary somewhere in Europe, I forgot where, in the 17th century. The Moshe Alshich.
The head of the police in Israel, his name is Roni Alshich.
I'm sure he's related. I'm sure he's related. Yeah. So after the cross out, where I crossed it out, I crossed out a line, then it says, Rabbanan Amri, the question is, who are the first three people mentioned in our psukim? Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni. Who are they? So the Rabbanan say, Edom u'Moav, v'reishit b'nei Amon. These are Edom and Moav, and initially the children of Amon. Heim ha'gimel shelo natan lohem ba'olam hazeh. These lands were not given to us in this world. Edom, as it is written in chapter 2 of Dvarim, Ki lo ete lecha me'artzo Yerusha, ki Yerusha le'esav natati et har Seir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am planning to give Esav this particular land. And Edom is the forerunner of Esav. Who Esav? Avi Edom. It's a pasuk at the end of Parshas Vayishlach. U'bimoav ksiv, al totsar et Moav. You are not permitted to badger Moav. V'al tizkar bam milchama. Moshe warns Bnei Yisrael not to engage in battle with the people of Moav. Now, Knizi, hu mi Esav. Keni v'kadmoni, hu mi Amonu Moav. Those are, Keni and Kadmoni are from Amonu Moav. Aval yamot hamashiach yachzeru v'yu liYisrael kidei likayem ma'amaro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since God said in the covenant here that he's going to give Avram 10, there's got to be a fulfillment. Rashi just said, Once God says something, it has to happen. So when will this happen? This is Liyamot HaMashiach. That's when we will gain the other three countries. Aval Achshav Shiva Nasan Lohem. Shene Emar, as it is written in Parshat Bo Et Hanan, Shiva Goyim Rabim Va'atsumim Mimeka. There are, I enabled you to conquer seven nations that are more powerful than you are. Only seven. Only seven. Not beyond that. Now, at the very last line of this particular Midrash comment, look at the last line, and it's in bold print. Ve'adayin v'sarai eshet Avram lo yodalo. Those are the first six words of chapter 16. Right after the Torah writes that God is going to give Am Yisrael all of these 10 lands, and it winds up to be only seven, the very next phrase is v'sarai eshet lo yodalo bet. Now, I know why the Torah is putting it here. I know why. But why does the Medrash have to quote this when he's just... What's the purpose of this Midrashic comment? To explain who the 10 nations are. Did we get all 10? When will we get the other 10? So why is the Medrash have to write V'adayan V'sarai Eishes Avram Lo Yodalo Be? It's... What do you want to say?
This emunah that he has, this is so, into the DNA, that despite the fact that she still is not...
Just look at all the other nations.
Right. They will be people.
Look, exactly. You have the children of Noah, Shem, Cham, and Yafes, and here you have Cham has a child by the name of Canaan, and look at Canaan, he's got 11 children. Doesn't look like anybody's having any trouble giving birth to anyone. It's only Awasara who remains childless. This very phenomenon repeats itself at the end of Parshat Vayera. Please look at Bereshit Perek Chaf Bet. Perek Chaf Bet. It's Pasuk Chaf. And the question really is sharpened based on the fact that Perek Chaf Bet of Sefer Bereshit is the Kriyat Torah for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. We know why it's the Kriyat, because it describes Akedat Yitzchak. And Akedat Yitzchak plays an enormous role in our liturgy of davening on Rosh Hashanah. Correct. It doesn't end. The Torah's reading could have stopped at right there, by Machdim. And there are enough psukim to get five aliyot in. It's not a problem that we had to read anything else. So why is it that we also read that Avraham was told Hine yolda milka gamhi banim lechorachich and Utz and Butz and Kimuel and Kesed and Chazal and Pildash and Yidlof and Besuel? Who cares? Who needs all of these things? Why do we have to read on Rosh Hashanah? And it's again, it's to heighten our awareness. His brother Nachor gives birth to 8 children, no problem whatsoever. His wife, Sarah, gives birth to one child and had to go through the Akedas Yitzchak with the one child that they were prepared to offer. It heightens, it by way of comparison, heightens the tension and the dedication and loyalty that Avraham expressed by being willing to offer his son Yitzchak on the Akedah. So this is what that medrash happens to. But it doesn't tell us anything about... Yeah. So now go to the Alshich on page number 2. He says something incredible. Incredible. Hine b'tchilat ha'inyan, at the beginning of this unit, at the beginning of Perek Tedvav, we read it. It says, Ani Hashem asher tzeiticha lo ses licha es eretz Kenan. God is speaking to Avram, saying that I'm going to give you eretz Kenan. Shehu latet leAvraham atzmo haaretz lirishta. Vihine ka'asher pireish yirushat haaretz, as God was explaining to him the process of inheriting the land, Omar lo, he said to him, Ve'ata tavo elavutecha bishalom, you will die in peace. And who's going to return here to inherit the land? Ve'achar silukha, after you are removed from this world, dor rivi'i yashuvu hena, a fourth generation later will inherit the land. Nimtza, you see from this, ki brit matnat ha'aretz hu achar bo'o el avotav b'do revi'i. We see that the covenant of the gift of the land is after Avram is going to die, in the fourth generation. Ve'im kein, eich amar mitchila al Avraham atzmo, shiyorish et ha'aretz. How can he possibly say that Avram personally is going to inherit the land? La answer, la ze omar ma shebayom hahu karat Hashem et Avram berit. This is explained by the fact that God now establishes the covenant. The covenant eino ma shedor rivi'i yavo'u v'yirshu aretz. The covenant is not based on what the future four generations now are going to inherit. Ki im leimor lizaracha et hakeini shehein artzot asara amenim. What this covenant says mentions 10 nations. And that's not going to happen, lizaracha. How many nations are going to be given to lizaracha? Only 7. So the brit which we read about, the brit of the Bein Hagzarim, made the brit covenant with Avram, is for Avram himself. Asher ein hadavar hu mitkayein ad arvur ha'arba galuyot hanizkarot. After Am Yisrael experiences 4 exiles, that's when there will be a fulfillment of this covenant. Shehu achar hatchiya leAvraham atzmo. So what does he say, the Alshech? That there were 2 separate promises. There was a promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avram's children, lezaracha etena ta'aretz hazot. And that was intended only for the 7 nations. For the 7 nations. Now he makes a covenant with Avram, only Avram, that he's going to give him the land, nosati et aretz hazot, and that includes the 10 lands. Why? Because Avram is going to be the first one to occupy 3 of these lands. Yes, the other 7 will have been inherited by his children, but Avram will be the master, the first one to conquer these 3. So who is going to be the one who will conquer the first 3, the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni? Not Avram's children. Avram. Well, what is the only possible way that Avram himself, if he's going to be dying now, that ata tavo el avotecha bishalom, what is the only way in which he can himself inherit the land at a future time? After hatchiyah, tchiyat ha-meitin.
So that's why it says Sarai wasn't even, because it was for Avram.
Good, that would be a very good point. Very good. And therefore he says, v'hu buchrach, and this is proof to the pudding, ki achat me'asarahi eretz edom kinoda, v'hu hamalchut harivi'i hamoshel b'no. The 4th of the exiles that we will experience is galut edom. That's the one which we're still currently experiencing. Ach ma shedor rivi'i yashuvu hena, eino ma shekarat berit ata. The 4th generation that is going to return to occupy the land is not related to the covenant that Avram makes with HaKadosh Baruch Hu now. Ki im habrit shebiyamim acherim shehein artzot shiva amamim. So if you want to know why there's 10 and 7, 7 is given to the children. All 10 are given to Avram. And Avram will not have the capacity to take hold of them. Why? Because he's going to die before they enter. So when will be the realization of those 3? Only after Tchiyat HaMetim comes about. Avram will personally rise, and then will occupy the lands of the Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni, which Chazal understand is Edom, Moab, and Ammon. Which is a fascinating way. Yes?
Did you say before that Esav got those 3?
No, he is one of them.
Edom.
He is right. The third of them. And the Torah tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I am giving Esav. And what he quoted the pasuk that you're not supposed to attack Esav. The pasuk in Parshas Devarim, not supposed to attack Esav. Why? Ki le Esav natata yirusha. I gave Esav Eretz Edom as his inheritance until Tchiyat HaMetim comes. Then Avram takes it over.
Because even if Esav got one of the, that would make 8 really. Because Esav was one of Avram's sons.
Correct.
So it'd be as we're talking about that it's 7 and 3, so in a way it's 8.
It's 8 and 2.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Well, truth be told, Ammon and Moab are Lot's daughters. Lot is Avram's nephew, so Avram really has some connection to all 10.
Right.
That's why it would make sense, why Avram is told here that the covenant is being established with 10. To some extent, that 10 can be played in 2 ways.
Right.
7 and 3, but in reality, what you said, no one else said. I've not found anybody else says that. That Avram did conquer all 10. Because not by virtue of his children, Yitzchak, but rather through Esav and Yishmael. That's correct. You're right, so that's correct. Even though the emphasis always is ki bi Yitzchak yikare lechazara, but that's a very, very, very thoughtful comment. You don't have to say any of this. Avram did inherit it through his other offspring. That's very good. But there is a reluctance for
to count them.
Exactly, to count Esav, Moab, and Edom as being under our flag.
Right.
That's the reluctance. That's why everybody has to come up with a different interpretation. Yeah. Take a look at page 3, where Bachya tries to weigh in on why the names don't match up between the Pasuk Perek Tet and Pasuk in Perek Yud of Sefer Bereishis by Noah and here. So I bracket it. Ukanan Yalad at Sidon Bichoro. Bikan Yimaneh HaKatuv Asara Sheyatzu Mizera Kanaan. Torah listed 10 that will emerge from the children of Canaan. V'kulon notnu le'Avraham avinu b'matnata aretz. All 10 were given to Avraham in the gift of the land. Hu sha'amar lo b'rit bein abtarim. L'zaracha natati et ha'aretz hazot min ahar mitzrayim et anahar nagolo et ha'keni v'ha'knizi p'moni u'mone v'holech asara amimim. And he counts 10 nations. Umashin ishtanu b'shemot, and that which the names have been changed, l'fisha ha'parsha hazot, this parsha in Parshas Noah, hein ha'shemot shikara lahem avihem b'hi voldam. This is the name that was called by their father when they were born. U'b'matnat ha'aretz nishtanu shmotam, their names were changed, l'fi hishtanut ha'lishonot v'haratzot, based on the different languages and lands that emerged after the flood. Ki kishenifritzu ba'artzot l'goyehem, when they were spread out all over the world after the episode of the Dor HaFlaga, during the Dor HaFlaga, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He split them all over the world and gave them different languages. So nikra'u b'shemot acherim. They were called different names. V'im tachshov osam, and if you will actually count, timsa'en yud aleph, you will see that there are 11 children of Kina'an. Avot Sidon b'choro, hu hanikra Kina'ani. Sidon the Bechor is actually whom? Kina'an himself. Nitztaref im echad me'achiv shelo haya legoy. Sidon, the firstborn, joined somebody else, because we don't know why, he somehow joined one of his brothers, so even though there are 11 names mentioned, it's actually only 10 people. Vida ki asara amemim eile, shiva mehem kovshum Yisrael b'yimei Yehoshua, aval hagimul haim hakneni, knizi, and kadmoni, lo kivshum me'olam. We never conquered them. V'im kein ha-parsha ha-ne'emeres la-Avraham b'matna ha-aretz shebar hizkir amimim eile hi romza le'atid lavo shiyiyu mishubadim lanu. He takes the standard approach that these three nations are only going to be given to us le'atid lavo. V'hine machshevot Hashem yitbarach amukot. Trying to figure out what's running through God's mind is a very big challenge, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thoughts are very profound. Ki ratza shetiyeh ha'aretz ha'kedosha liknaan. That he decided that the land of holiness will be the land of Kana'an. Hu ho'eved shenishtabed libnei shem al pi aviv. He is the slave who is to be enslaved to the service of shame based on the curse of his father. V'nimtzira biyado mizman haflaga kidei shelo yuchal lahachzik ki ein ha'eved yachol lahachzik b'nichsei ha'adon. A slave can never acquire the land of his master. She'ilu nimtzira biyad Uma acheret, ulai hayu machzikin ba. You know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this land? Because it was the only land that he could legally guarantee that we could overtake. If he were to give us Russia, what would the Russians say? We're stealing. This belonged to us. But if he gives us the Kanani, the Chiti, Pini, and Noisi, they can't argue anything, because they were slaves. And a slave, as he said, can't own land. As a result, when they were placed in these lands, it was only a temporary thing. It was granted by the master. Once the master says, time's up, under those circumstances, we have a legal right to it. So here, Bachya plays a trump card that Chazal played in general. Rashi, the very first Rashi in the Chumash. Anybody remember the question that his father, that Rashi's father asked? What is Rashi's question?
Why
does the Torah start with Bereshit bara Elohim et Hashemayim et Haaretz? Why doesn't it start with the Aseret HaDibrot? Or chapter 12, HaChodesh HaZelochem, the first mitzvah given to Am Yisrael, Kiddush HaChodesh. So what does Rashi answer? Because God created the world, and he has a right to give it to anybody, and therefore he says, I'm giving it now to Am Yisrael. That argument could have been any place in the world, because God created the whole world. But here, Bachya doesn't say that. Bachya says it's operating on halakhic legal principles. Since Kana'an is an eved to Shem, therefore, he legally owns every piece of property that has been awarded. And now, once the Eved is dependent upon the master, then the master says, get lost, I am taking over. And therefore, this justifies our right. So, do me a favor, please email this Rabbeinu Bachya to Haley. To Ambassador Haley. So she can say it over at the UN. Why? What? I know she said it very well.
But that's what I was thinking, actually, yeah. Is that, you know, this is, they didn't accept our Torah. You know, I mean, so they could say all of those nice things are very nice for us to justify it, so we could fight and we could feel comfortable fighting.
That is true, but, you know, the Old Testament is recognized by most...
Of
course, we know that this is only for the Beis Medrash. That's not going to work in the political arena. That's for sure. That's for sure. No.
It's interesting that Noah had Nebuah, I guess, and cursed his son in this way.
Excellent point. The Ramban, we didn't learn Noah here, but the Ramban says exactly what you just said. That Noah, to some extent, had prophetic vision. And this is part of his prophecy. That's correct. And that when he makes statements, it's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu somehow inspired him to make those. Excellent point. Excellent point. That Noah, and even to some extent they grant some degree of to Adam HaRishon as well. It's anybody who was alive at that time basically had some time. And we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did communicate with Noah. It's not, it doesn't shock us. That's recorded in the text. All right, we'll stop here, and hopefully we'll have more people next week. No problem.